Amen. Amen. All is well. Giving all praises to God, to our own Reverend Dr. Janice Bryan, to the deacons, trustees, to our family and friends, and to all that is here today. We do thank God for this another expression of his kindness to allow us to come together one more time. We don't take it for granted. Driving up and down I-35, you have to constantly be in prayer. Now, we did give out a bit of homework on last week. I'm not going to check to see if you turned it in. But the homework was enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And so we talked about before coming in here, did you pause long enough to tell the Lord thank you? Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for starting us on our way, because we're truly blessed to be able to use and pick and choose our own praying grounds. This morning for a scripture, we would like to call your attention to the book of Esther, one of two women whose name find them in the Bible. Esther and Dr. Bryant reminded me of Ruth. In this month of May, here at Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, we are celebrating women, their contributions not only to us personally and individually, but their contributions to this church and to this community. And so we do also want to encourage you to be a part of the planned events. They have the hats off to women on next Sunday for Mother's Day. And I'm telling the men now, don't wear no hat. This is I know you want to support, but that's not going to be the way to do it. But we do want to support them and thank them. And then especially on Fourth Sunday, we will be celebrating Women's Day. And so today we want to look at one of the heroes in Scripture, in the book of Esther, chapter 4. And we would like to just jump into the middle of this narrative, but we want to jump in at verse 14. Esther chapter 4, beginning at verse 14, by the inspiration of God, these words are recorded. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to this royal position for such a time as this? Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my maids will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. We read into your hearing Esther chapter 4, verses 14 through 17. We ask that there be a blessing to God's word. We would like to simply tag this text this morning, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman. Before we get started, I do need to share with you a horrible barbershop experience I had. I was a little boy, maybe about 8 or 9, when had no control of my life. And so My mom said on one Tuesday evening, we're going to get your hair cut. You know, back in those days, you didn't say anything. You just went along with it. And I had an appointment at 7 o'clock. And I hoped to be able to get there. I didn't explain it to my mom. I don't think it would have went anywhere trying to tell her about my appointments. But I went to this haircut thinking about my 7 o'clock appointment. Well, about 6 o'clock, I get to the barber shop. I'm have to wait, maybe one person, and I'm in the chair, and he's cutting my hair. He's talking, my mama talking. He cutting a little bit. He talk a little bit, cut a little bit, and I'm watching the hands on this clock just ticking away to my appointment. I'm doing high level math in my head, thinking that if we drive 60 miles per hour to get back home, it'll only take me 6 minutes. So if I get out of here by 6:54, I have enough time for my appointment. And so I'm doing all this math, and then 6:45 hit, and I'm got a knot in my stomach. I don't think I'm going to make it. This is not going well. And about 6:55, my brain just shut down. I reverted back to infant state. I couldn't even think, didn't have the words to express how eerily frustrated I was that I was going to miss this appointment. And I watched that last minute tick away, 6:59. Every second of that last minute, I watched that second hand go all the way around that clock. And as soon as it hit 7 o'clock, I just started screaming at the top of my lungs. Barber was so nervous. He didn't know what had happened. What's going on? What's the matter? What's the matter? What's the matter? The haircut looked good. Your haircut looked good. What's the matter? What's the matter? At that time, I pointed at the TV and I yelled, Wonder Woman! Back in those days, it was a sitcom, a weekly sitcom of a show, a live action show called Wonder Woman. And it was appointment TV for me. I had to be there to watch every episode. And I was so fascinated with it. I liked that when trouble came, all she had to do was turn around. And when she turned around, when she got back around, she was in charge of the trouble then. When after she got finished spinning around, she was now a warrior. And I understand that there are some don't like that allegory, don't like to be compared to Wonder Woman. A lot of women don't like it because they feel like it's too tiring to be Wonder Woman all the time. I'm tired and frustrated of always trying to be somebody's Wonder Woman. But before I go any further, I want you to note that you don't have to be Wonder Woman all the time. Wonder Woman wasn't Wonder Woman all the time. Most of the show, in fact, she was Diana Prince. And I'm assuming that after the show went off, she continued to be Linda Evans. She was only Wonder Woman 5 or 10 minutes every week. Even Wonder Woman was not Wonder Woman all the time. Mary wasn't Wonder Woman all the time. She was Joseph's wife. She was James and Jude's mother. But when the angel showed up and told her that she was going to be the one to bring forth the Messiah, Mary asked the question, how can this be, seeing that I know not a man? And the angel explained to her that the Holy Ghost shall overshadow you, and you shall bring forth the Son. For nothing is impossible with God. At that time, Mary threw up her hands and started spinning around. Behold your handmaiden. Let it be unto me according to your word. She just had to be Wonder Woman in that moment. Others have to be Wonder Woman. Rosa Parks was not always Wonder Woman. She was a simple seamstress. She was a wife. She was just a friend, a sister. But one day while on that bus, while she sat down, she spun around. and she started a movement. Michelle O ain't Wonder Woman all the time. Normally, she's just a wife. Normally, she's just a mother of her daughters. But when she was standing on that stage and said, when they go low, we go high, that was a Wonder Woman moment. Now, here at Ebenezer, we have the privilege and blessing to have many Wonder Woman among us, who serve and have allowed God to use them in a wonderful way. Example after example of women, normal women, that when the moment called for them to step up, they turn into Wonder Woman. A simple woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well who had five husbands, and the one that she was with now was not her husband. But when Jesus talked to her at that well, she decided to go back to her village, to those who had shunned her, those who had ignored her, those that wouldn't invite them to her party. She went back to her village and threw up her arms and said, come see a man who told me everything that I have done. In that moment, she became Wonder Woman. It's simply making yourself available to be used by God to perform a miracle, to be the one that God uses to use his wonder working power. In that moment, in the scripture, it says, for such a time as this, it calls for us to be prepared to be Wonder Woman. Sister Hawkins was Wonder Woman when she opened up her doors to allow Ebenezer to come in. Sister Willis was Wonder Woman when she named Ebenezer the Stone of Help. There's just moments in time when we have to be ready to be Wonder Woman. In this story of Esther, the children of Israel is now being dominated by the Persians. They have been conquered by the Persians, and they are now in Persian rule. And the Persians is like a worldly government that you imagine. They abuse of power, excessive partying, excessive drinking. They in fact thought that their king was God on earth. He was man God on earth. And so whatever he said, whatever decree he said, they thought that it should impact and influence every element of a people's lives. One day he got so drunk and so caught up in the partying that he invited his queen into the chambers and wanted to show her off to his drunk friends. When she refused to do this, he removed her as queen and set out to have another queen, had a contest to see who would be the next queen of Persia. And the winner was Esther. Esther, this little Jewish girl, little orphan girl, this raised by her uncle Mordecai, she was chosen to be the queen of Persia. In the midst of this excitement, now all of a sudden it is a rags to riches story. From being an orphan to being a queen. She was beautiful. She had a gold MasterCard, a platinum Visa card, and a Persian Express card. Anything that she wanted, she could have. There was no store that was barred from her. There was no venue that she could not go. There was no diner, no five-star restaurant that she could not eat at. Everything was at her disposal. She was even given maids to tend to her every need. If she ever wanted anything, she had a maid, a royal hairdresser, to make sure her hair was always fixed. And you know that's important, to have a standing royal. Okay, let me move on. Maybe I shouldn't have shared my barbershop experience first, because she had everything. Had everything going on. But in the midst of her paradise, there's always a parasite, a demonic plot to kill the Jews. In fact, the king wasn't a bad guy, a bit naive, a bit of a simpleton, but not evil in that sense. But there were those that was under him that were evil and was vengeful and plotful. And they set out a plot to destroy the Jews. Because the Persian believed that their king was God, it was the worship of the king, which, you know, the Jews wasn't going to go for that. And so the Jews, they would work hard and keep to themselves. But when they made this decree, it was a death sentence on all the Jews. The Jews would have to either submit or give up on God in order to save their lives. It was a satanic scheme to destroy the believers. In the midst of this enemy was represented by Haman. But brothers and sisters, we still wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We still have a demonic plot to destroy the church. There's still a satanic scheme to come after the body of Christ. And yes, in such a time as this, we need Wonder Woman. So what three characteristics, what three lessons we can learn from this, that we can have the character traits that Esther had in her day so that you may have it in this day? First, she had poise. Mordecai saw her potential. Mordecai knew what Esther could do. He knew that Esther wasn't where Esther was all because of Esther's beauty. He knew it wasn't just because she was pretty, but that God had orchestrated the events, that God had moved the chess pieces around, that God had allowed her to be in the place where she can be chosen. Mordecai saw her potential and he knew what she could do for her people. And so he sent word. He sent word to Esther, telling her about the plot, telling her about the plan, telling them about the scheme, telling her what she ought to do, how she ought to go to the king and tell the king what's really going on. Mordecai told Esther all of this. And then Mordecai went and stood outside the city gate and outside the temple in rags and sackcloth and ashes. You know, just embarrassing Esther. You know, Esther, the queen of Persia, and her uncle out there looking like a bum, out there looking like a beggar, looking poor. And Esther, like, sent them some clothes. Man, get dressed. Wash your face. What's really going on? Anything you need, I can take care of it. I'm grateful for what you did for me growing up. I will take care of you now that I have means. And then Mordecai sends back word to her and said that I'm not just out here sorrowing for myself. I'm out here because there's some real problems and you're the one that can help solve them. Esther was poised. She kept her cool. She remained calm, collected, especially under pressure. She did not panic. She did not just run down there and said, I'm getting in sackcloth and ashes and going to sit right beside you too, Mordecai, until God does something. No, she kept her head about herself. She knew that she was in real danger. She knew that going to the king unannounced was real danger, that she could be killed before the king could even have mercy on her. By her just showing up, the guards could take her out. Her showing up, that her life could be taken from her. She knew it was a real danger, but she kept her poise. And if we're going to deal with the demonic plans and satanic schemes that are set out against us, we can't lose our heads. We can't lose our cool. We got to remain calm and collected. What I like about Esther, she relied on her upbringing. She went back to her Sunday school classes. She went back to her Sedum classes. She went back to Bible school. She went back to thinking about what would the Lord have me to do. She kept calm. She stayed cool. She stayed collected under pressure. If you're going to be Wonder Woman, you need to keep some poise. Well, secondly, not only did she have poise, she had position. She was the queen. Now the queen was a title. The position that she had was a position of influence and authority. From her position, she was able to help someone else. Her royal position, this is what Mordecai said, God had placed you in this royal position for such a time as this. God had placed you in that place, not for yourself, Esther, not just for your well-being, not just so that you can have the latest dress, not just so that you can have the finest hairdo, not just so that you can wear the finest perfume or eat the finest of food. God did not place you in this position just simply for you. Maybe I need to pause and say a word to somebody here today. That by the grace and mercy of God, that he had placed you in a position. A position on the job, position on a board, position on a committee, a position in the neighborhood. You're in that position of influence and authority in order to help somebody else. You know the story of people who are always gatekeepers. Soon as God get them in, they lock the gate behind them. God made a way out of no way for them, but they gonna make sure you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. They had a key in the combination and still didn't get in. He had a position of authority. She could tell others what to do. If you note the story of Esther and Mordecai, their communication was not face to face. In fact, their communication was virtual. She had to have messengers go back and forth between her and Mordecai, which means at any time she could have blocked Mordecai. Okay, y'all didn't feel that one. Okay, let me explain something. There's a secular radio station that I listen to so that I can keep up with the secular mindset. And I've discovered that in the secular mindset, that it's a lot easier to block people than to talk to them. It's a lot easier to ghost them than to explain to them what's really going on. It's easier to just unfollow them. But Esther didn't do any of that. She continued to communicate with Mordecai, even though she thought Mordecai was wrong. That Mordecai was putting her in danger. She didn't fall out with Mordecai because she knew that Mordecai loved her more than anyone else. Even though his idea, his plans did not line up with hers, she didn't block him. She didn't stop talking to him. She kept sending a messenger out to have words with him. And you got to have a special messenger to run this conversation. I mean, you're the queen talking to a man outside of the gate about king business. Any one of those messengers could have betrayed both of them and took that message to the king. But no. In her position of authority and influence, she has demonstrated concern for those under her. And it wasn't just a one-time thing. She's always taken care of her maids. She's always made sure that they had the best that they could have as they served her. She used her position as a platform to help somebody else to be able to use in a royal way. Yes, yes. When Mordecai was standing outside of that gate, thinking about the trouble in the land, trouble, thinking about the satanic plot that is against them, he pointed up to Esther and said, "Wonder Woman, for such a time as this." She had poise, she had position, but thirdly, she had a plan. Amen. Her plan was, let's get everybody involved in this. Amen. We're better together. This is a community problem. This is not just my problem. No, no, you ain't gonna shift all this problem and put it on my plate, Mordecai. No, this is all of our problem. And if it's everybody's problem, then everybody needs to fast for 3 days. She said that there are fasts, do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. Even my attendants, even those that are directly under me, we also are going to fast for 3 days, night or day. Now, in the Old Testament, when you hear fast, you got to assume prayer. Now, when you hear prayer, you don't necessarily assume fasting. But when you hear fasting, you have to assume prayer. Simply is that instead of having meals, 3 meals a day, you have 3 Bible studies a day. Instead of having 3 meals a day, you have 3 prayer meetings a day. Instead of the 3 meals a day, the family will gather around and talk about why we are fasting. And I heard something recently about the ripple effect. And when God's people fast and pray, there is a ripple effect. I mean, just think about it. When you are fasting and praying, when you go to work, normally you go and hang out with your friends, go get you some breakfast, go get you some lunch. But now that you are fasting and praying, you're not hanging with them at those times. And they sense your absence. Many of us, when we show up someplace and if somebody know that you are a God-fearing person, that you are a God-fearing woman or a God-fearing man, they will come up to you and ask for prayer. Why? Because simply your presence makes them feel better, make them feel confident, it make them have some sense of assurance. And what Esther does by calling a fast, it affects the whole kingdom. Everywhere that they are at work, they have an impact. You can imagine around the temple the castle where Esther is living, all of her maids are quietly just going about their business. Ain't a whole lot of chit-chat now. Ain't a whole lot of gossiping no more. Ain't a whole lot of people in corners mumbling under their breath. No, they're just quietly going about their business. Her plan was to fast and pray. What a plan. What a plan to involve God. What a plan to get God in on this. What a plan to put it in the hands of God. I know there are some people that don't think much of prayer. They think prayer is just crossing your fingers. They think prayer is throwing coins into a wishing well. I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to real prayer warriors that know what prayer can do. I remember years ago, I was working and I was in ministry and in school, and so sometime my work took a third seat. When it's a back seat, it took a third seat. And so my boss called me in the office, and I thought the jig was up. I thought my time was done. And as I'm going in the office, the Lord said, "Keep your mouth shut. Don't say nothing." And so I go in there, and she sit me down, and she said, "You know, we like what you're doing, but you're too distracted. You got other things going on." She said, "I come in your office, you got your Bible open. You're reading your Bible and got work in your inbox. You ain't even done." And she said, "It's going on and on." And I was kind of welling up inside. But I was going to obey God. I wanted to tell her something. "You can take this job and shove it. I trust the Lord. The Lord gave me this job. He'll give me another one." Lord was like, "Shut up. Don't keep your mouth quiet. Don't say anything." And so she was going on and on, reading me up and down, had printouts, and you came back from lunch on late from this day on this day and that day. And I'm sitting there like, okay, this is getting serious. This is getting real. But I ain't saying nothing. I'm just looking straight ahead and praying quietly with my eyes open, watching her and listening, praying, Lord help Jesus, what's going on? And then she looked up at me. She said, but Nathan, we're going to give you a merit because you've been producing more than anyone else. Now, I don't know how I would produce more than anybody else working half the time. They must not have been doing anything. I was doing a little something. They wasn't doing anything. And I walked out of there with a merit. Boy, I couldn't wait to find one of the believers' office. One of my friends who were a believer that had an office that I could close. I came in there and closed that door, threw up my hand and said, Lord, I want to thank you for telling me to keep my mouth quiet. Cause it's in those moments that we have to have a plan to pray. She called for a community fast and prayer, called for everyone to pray inside and outside. She called for everyone to think on this matter and take it to the Lord in prayer. And in that moment, Esther became Wonder Woman. She was transformed. She was changed. The scripture says at the end that she said, if I perish, I perish. She had that resolution. She had resolved within herself that whatever will be, I'm going to put it all in the hands of the Lord. And at the end of chapter 4, we read, so Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. He goes out and calls for a community fast and prayer. And brothers and sisters, I don't want to give you the end of the story. I hate to give you a spoiler right here, but I want you to know that you went before the king. And when the king saw her, he had mercy on her. And when the king heard of the report, not only did he restore, not only did he save the Jews, but he destroyed the enemy. See, when the law is your problem, we got to have to learn how to go over the law. See, there's somebody that's over the law. There's somebody that wakes up the lawman. There's somebody that wakes up the lawgiver. There's somebody that wakes up the congressman. There's somebody that wakes up the governor. There's somebody that wakes up the mayor. And through Esther, in that moment being Wonder Woman, under the rule of Persia, God saved her people. And in fact, they still have a holiday celebrating Esther's efforts. Just in a moment. She didn't have to stay after she talked to the king. She could go back to being Esther. Go back to her beauty shop appointment. Go back to nails. Go back to the seamstress. But in that moment, she became Wonder Woman. And sisters and brothers, God calls for us in the moment to be used of him to perform a wonder working power, to perform a miracle. But you have to be poised. You have to be in position and you have to have a plan. May God bless you and may God keep you today. At this time, we want to extend the invitation. There may be someone here who don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. As the ushers and greeters and deacons come, we want you to come. You can come as you are. You don't have to get right to come. But coming is your first step of getting right. And if you're watching us online or virtually, we invite you to reach out, put a comment or send an email. We would love to reach out and touch you. Will you come? Amen. It was ours to extend. It was yours to accept. It is our prayer that it is well with your soul.